Yamadagay, Gimbe, Bidipi, Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people who stayed into this land. I would like to pay respect to the elders both past and present, and extend that respect to all listeners of King's Kids.
Hello and welcome. I'm Heidi. How often do we try and deceive our friends and church family because we don't want them to know who we really are and what we are like behind closed doors? Are you one of those people? Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison explains in today's program what God thinks.
Some people try to deceive God, but they also deceive themselves and they deceive people that they're talking to. God sees the heart and he knows your heart and he knows your intentions. Because a lot of the times people don't understand you, or you mightn't be able to communicate to other people, you know, what you're really trying to say. And people might walk away and say, well, you know, I don't really understand that person. You know, I don't understand where they're at with God. But you see, it's not whether we understand where they're at with God, but God knows where they're at with him. To give you an example, I met somebody through my webpage, through King's Kids Ministry. And I've been supporting them with prayer and supporting them with encouragement words from God, because obviously this person doesn't know God as well as they should, because sometimes people let circumstances get the better of them. And when their circumstances take control, or they allow their circumstances to take control, and if they got pride and they don't want to let God in to do what he needs to do, sometimes people hit rock bottom. And when they do, there's only one way out, and that's up. And that's through repentance and through asking God to forgive them. And when you have a relationship with God, you tend to hear a lot from God. And I do. I hear from God every day because I spend the time with him. And this person I've been praying for nearly 4 months, for God to do something, for God to take care of this person. And it's very hard to pray for somebody when they won't let you into their lives and they got secrets, they tell lies. And the problem with telling lies is you tell a small lie to start with, but that lie builds momentum like a snowball, you know, coming down a mountainside. It just gets bigger and bigger as it goes. And the hardest part about telling lies is remembering the lies that you told. You can't ever do that. So when you start telling lies, you can fool me, you can fool your husband, your wife. And for years, I was a bit like a secret agent with my family. Didn't tell them everything. Then sometimes you get caught out in a lie, and it's easier to own up to the lie in the beginning than let it snowball and get out of control. But I've been saying to this person for a while, I said, look, you're deceiving yourself. You're trying to deceive God. You're trying to deceive me. But I speak to God. God speaks to me. When I pray for you, God gives me a little insight into your life. He gives me a word of knowledge. And sometimes I keep getting that word over and over again until I talk to you about it. And sometimes I'll even confront you with it because God has kept speaking to me. And this person was telling me lie after lie after lie after lie. And I said, God, you know, every time I confront this person, they deny it. They're living in denial. So I said to God, I said, well, sometimes they will paint themselves into a corner where they can't get out, where the lie has gotten so big that there's no way out but to tell the truth. I thank God that he's a God that is always willing and able to listen to us. And as soon as we stop telling lies, the moment we stop pretending and we can't deceive God. Now, for months, this person has said, okay, I don't have a problem with pride. I spend time with God, and I do this and do that. And I said, listen, the reason I know you're not telling me the truth is because I don't have that peace from God about what you're telling me. Out of all the gifts that I've got from God, one of the gifts I've asked God for is wisdom. And, you know, and he's given me wisdom to discern and a discernment. So I know when you're telling me lies, I don't have that peace. And I was getting so frustrated with this person. I said, okay, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm a pastor. I like to minister to people. But there comes a time when you got to say, okay, they've got to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, if you're not going to help yourself, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to have to leave you to God. Let go and let God do it. So the Lord spoke to me and he said to me, write a message and write exactly what I tell you to say. And the Lord said to me, I'm going to put a spirit of repentance upon this person and I'm not going to let up until they repent. And that's the way I prayed it. I said, okay, God, that'd be great. And I said to this person, if you're not going to take notice of what I'm saying from God, then don't bother writing back because you're just wasting your time, my time, and God's time. Anyway, I got a message this morning from this person, and they said, you know what? Before I contact you this morning, I had to get on my knees, ask God to forgive me. I had to repent of all the lies, all the deception, all the deceit. I really felt God forgive me. Well, I was hoping God would forgive me, the person said. And then I said to this person, I said, if God will forgive you, I'll forgive you. And then I said to this person, you know, I went to the scriptures and I said, God says all have fallen short of the glory of God. And if we confess our sins, God was just and he will forgive us. Well, that's basically what I was saying, that if you confess your sin, God will forgive you. After 10 more minutes, I said to this person, I forgive you and I will continue to pray for you. And I will continue to do what God wants me to do for you. Now, and I said, how do you feel? And this person said to me, I feel such joy in my spirit. I feel so alive and I feel so relieved and so peaceful that when you chat with me, I'm not deceiving you. I'm not telling lies. I feel really free about that. And I said, that's what happens. The truth will set you free. And God gave me the words to challenge you with, and it was those words that came from God, which was truth, set you free. Nothing I did set you free. Nothing I actually said set you free. But the word of God set you free when I gave you the words of God, and you accepted them and received them into your heart. That's what actually set you free. But you know, there are other people. We know the world does it all the time. But do Christians do this? Do Christians try to deceive God, try to deceive their fellow Christians, try to make themselves out to be better than others? And, hey, look at me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. You know, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing that for God. I'm doing this over here for God. You know, God's told me to open up my wallet and God's told me to bless this ministry or to bless that person. I just want to use my money for God. And you know, that's fine if God tells you to do that. You know, what's even worse is if God tells you to do that and you tell all your friends, especially your church friends, and you're not doing any of the things that God had told you to do. You're deceiving yourself. You're not deceiving God because God can't be deceived. But you're really deceiving yourself when you tell people, this is what God told me to do, and this is what I've been doing. God wants me to use my wealth to bless people's ministries. If you're not doing that, then you're deceiving yourself. God will remove his blessings, remove the anointing off your life, and you're going to get found out because the Bible says your sins will catch you out. Why lie? Why tell people, why pretend you're something you're not? It's so sad because if you actually did what God told you to do, you would be blessed far more than you could ever imagine. You can't outgive God when God tells you to give.
When he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
sky were starless in the void of the night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. A mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. A hope that we have not too quickly forgotten. That our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
I remember preaching once at a church in Sydney, and it was a long, long time ago. And this woman actually came and heard me preach my first sermon when I got out of prison at a place called Musselbrook. And her and her children were on holidays. And she sat in the back of the church, and when I finished my first sermon, I went and spoke to this woman. And she said, God said to me, if I ask you to come and preach in our church, would you come? And it was one of the first churches I ever spoke in when I got out of prison, and I had to travel to Sydney to do so. Now, this woman and her husband took me in. Now, this woman loved the Lord, so did her children, but her husband, he wasn't so keen on God, and he didn't go to church, and it was okay for her to go to church. When we were sitting in church before I got to preach, the offering came around, and there was a newsletter. And in the newsletter had somebody putting a certain amount of money in the offering, and in the card earned there was another person that knelt before God and said, God, all I can give you is a dollar. And this lady said to me after the service, she said, Pastor Tony, she said, you know what, I don't want you to think bad of me, she said, but all I can give God is a dollar because my budget is so tight and my husband's unsaved. And, you know, he would hit the roof if I gave any more than a dollar. And I sat this woman down and I explained to her, I said, it's not the amount that you give, it's the heart. God sees your heart. And God knows that you'd like to give more, but you can't because of circumstances, because God doesn't want you to disobey your husband. But over that weekend, I got to spend time with him. And I said to him, why don't you won't allow her to give to God? He said to me, because he said, if we give this to God, what do we get out of it? What do we get out of it? I said, well, if you give with a willing heart, and because you want to give to God and you love God, God will bless you back. And this bloke said to me, he said, you know, if I started going to church and giving money to God, he said, if he didn't give back to me, he said, I'd want to sue God. He said, I'd really want to sue him because, you know, he's not living up to his word. And I said, mate, I've been preaching the gospel for a while in prison, and it's a little bit since I got out. And I'm going to tell you now, there's no way in the world you're going to sue God, because God never lets anybody down. And God is faithful to his word. You know, every word written in the Bible will never pass away, because God says, my word is there for now and forever, for eternity. And it'll be written on your hearts in the last days. So God's word is not there by mistake. It's never going to pass away. And I said to this woman, it's not the amount that you give. It's what your heart attitude is. So anyway, this guy let me pray for him. He gave his heart to the Lord. And he said to me, Tony, well, I'm going to start giving a tenth of my salary. And I said, this message is not about tithing. It's about being honest with God. So don't go ringing up because I'm not pushing tithing. But I'm just saying that if you want to trust God. Now, I prayed for this guy and I had a prophetic word for him. And I said to him, for a season, this man was unemployed. I said, for a season, you're going to get a job that's going to be far more than you could have ever possibly imagined you could earn. But it's only going to be a season. And God wants you to be wise during that season, because the season's going to come to an abrupt end if you're not putting your trust in God. And this man got a job and he was earning $5,000 a week. And this was 30 years ago. That's a lot of money, $5,000 a week. And he rushed out and he bought a farm and a big house and a swimming pool, and he built all this stuff. But the word I gave him was it would only last for a season. Be careful what you do with the money. When the season was over, the company folded its operation in Australia and moved overseas. But he didn't want to go overseas, and they weren't. He didn't want to go because he was dropping money, and his family didn't want to go. You see, when he started trusting God and stopped deceiving himself, God blessed him. But then he took his eyes off God, and then what God said would happen, happened. He lost the blessing. The season finished, and then he finished up in more debt than he had before he started with the blessings. So if you're trying to kid God and you're trying to, you know, say to God, look at me, look at what I'm doing. But God sees what everybody does. I spend a lot of time sharing with people in the street, at schools, at churches, on the phone. And nobody knows that. Only those who know me well and close enough knows that's what I do. But you see, I don't have to stand before God with my chest stuck out and puffed out at the end of each week and say, God, look what I've done for you this week. And if I did that, I would lose the blessing. I would lose the gift that God's put on my life, because then it becomes about me and then not about Jesus. So the thing is, what I try to do is just go about my business and do God's business, and that's between me and God. And I know that when I say to people I'm going to do something, God knows I'll do it. But I know a lot of people that call themselves Christians and they don't do that. They put on a show like the old Pharisees of old. They want the best place in the synagogue. They want the best places in churches. They want the congratulations and the pats on the back from their peers in church, because they say they're doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this for God. And you know what? Their fruits aren't what they're saying they're doing. And the Bible always tells me, Tony, you'll know them by their fruits. And I know some of these people are multi-millionaires. And I reckon these guys could stand in the grower's market on a Sunday afternoon after church and they wouldn't have any fruit to show for it. With all their money, with all their success, they got no fruit to show for it. And you can't deceive God. I know somebody else that said to me, Tony, if God wants me to have a Christian husband, let him bring him along so I can check him out. And then if I sleep with him and everything's okay, then I'll stop living with this other person and sleeping with him. Is God going to honour that sort of prayer? Is God going to honour that? No, he's not. You're deceiving yourself. There's a deceiving spirit, deceiving that person that they think it's okay with God to be living in a de facto relationship. And then asking God to bless them, asking God to give them a Christian husband. Well, how's God going to give you a Christian husband when you're living with a non-Christian? And it's by your choice that you're living with a non-Christian. Nobody held a gun to your head and said, you've got to live with this person. You know what the problem is? Too many Christians want to live for God, but on their terms. They don't want to live for God unconditional, the way that God loves us unconditionally. People want God in a box. They want God to be their God, but on their terms. At the end of the age, when the time comes, if they don't repent, if they continue with that heart and attitude and continue to be deceived by this deceiving spirit, God will say to them at the end of the age, "Get away from me, I don't know you." And these people will say to God, "But I supported this, I prayed for this, and you know, I've seen miracles in your name." But Jesus will say, "Get away from me, I don't know you." So are you deceiving yourself? Because you can't deceive God. Are you deceiving others in the church? Are you deceiving your friends? Are you being not living up to what you're saying you are? Because you know what? God knows everything. You can't deceive God. But I want to say to you today, if you can relate to this story, if you know that I'm talking is something that's really touching your heart, and you know that you're living like this, well, you don't have to. All you have to do is repent and say, "Jesus, I'll do it with you now." Say, "Jesus, Father God, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. My sins of being a phony, for being not what I say I am, for trying to deceive you and to deceive my fellow man. God, I ask you to forgive me. I want you to just forgive me, Father God. And know, Father God, that I want you to help me to overcome this. I want you, Father God, to be there for me." And you know what? If you've prayed this prayer and you've meant it in your heart, God will forgive you. And you can turn around and be the man or the woman that God calls you to be.
Hold to Jesus, I surrender. Oh, to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence I'll daily live. Ooh. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with your love and power. Let thy blessing
take my life and let it be. With my arms lifted high.
Every song that I sing,
wanna live in your presence daily, Lord. I'm surrendering everything to you.
Everything that is within me.
Yeah. I'm surrendering everything to you.
You are the air that I breathe. You're the song that I sing. And I will give everything,
every single thing to you.
I Surrender All from Raelene Scarrett and Jodie McBrayer. We also heard earlier from Rich Mullins with Awesome God. We do need to surrender daily to God because it's too hard to do life on our own. If you're one of those for whom deception is a way of life, you need to wake up to the fact that you're not fooling God. In fact, you're often not fooling the other people around you either. I think we've all come across Christians who are just not quite right. Christians who make you think they're doing you a favour when in fact they have ulterior motives. If that's you, then repent and talk to God about this deceptive nature. He's ready to listen to a penitent heart. Tony would be happy to talk to you also. You can ring him on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. To hear this program again, go to kingskidsministries.org and click the listen button at the top of the page. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you can join us again next week. On behalf of the King's Kids team, I'm Heidi saying bye until next time. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.